Why do we have Youth Week?
I'm preaching tonight and next Wednesday in anticipation of a week of special meetings. So I repeat the question. Why do we have Youth Week? Is it to give the young people something exciting? Well, we do that, but that's not the reason why we have it. What is the purpose of Youth Week? What do we want to see accomplished during Youth Week? It is more than something different, something special, though it is that. It is a different week, and it is special. But the reasons go beyond that. I think sometimes, whether they're called evangelistic meetings, revival meetings, special meetings, youth week, camp meeting, or whatever they're called, I get a subtle feeling, maybe it's just me, but I get a subtle feeling that it's an acceptable form of evangelical fundamental Christian entertainment. We enjoy it. We like it. We have fun at it. Now, all of those things may indeed be true, and I don't think any of those things are wrong. Okay? But they're certainly not the reason why we have a special week of meetings, whatever the title of the week is called. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you will, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Steadfast. Unmovable. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and you may want to put a marker here. It is our text passage. Right now I'm just reading two verses. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. 2 Timothy 1, 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Any renewal, any reconsecration, any first time decisions or commitments made during Youth Week, any deepening of the work of grace that you exist in, any of that which is begun in Youth Week, it then faces the test of daily Christian living and service.
Yes, sir.
A pastor once asked me how a week of special services went. And I responded to him, ask me in 3 months. You see, God wants us to be steadfast. The theme of this week and next in prayer meeting is hold fast. Being steadfast. God wants us to be steadfast. Christ wants us to remain. The Father and Holy Spirit desire that we continue in the decisions that we make. And I hope some decisions are made. I hope there's some renewing of commitments that we've made previously, but have, you know, just diminished on. So, but you see, when we say that Christ wants us to remain, and the Father and the Holy Spirit want us to continue, it must be known that your pastor, our pastor, the deacons of this church, the Sunday school teachers, and others are praying for us to hold fast, to hold on, in plain language, to make it. They don't want us to fail. And when they pray for us and for the will of God, it's that we would not fall away. Let's turn to some scriptures and see what God, through his writers, says about this matter of holding fast, because the Bible actually has much to say about it. Okay, now I announced that the text was in 2 Timothy chapter 1. If you'll turn there, or if you're still there, I read verse 12 and 13. Now I want to read verse 14, where he says, "That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us." Now we would need to read the context to see what that good thing he is referring to. But I believe that we're not resting the scriptures, not distorting them in any sense, when whatever it is that God speaks to our hearts about during youth week, that he wants us, verse 13, to hold fast the form of sound words. And that the good things he does in us, which have been given to us by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. It is true. During the week, whoever is preaching, from the moderator, Brother McVeigh, also evangelist Taylor, we know the Vernons come, and Zach, we know, preaches. When they're able, they get his father, David, to preach. Our pastor has preached. There's different men. We have Ron Williams, who will be here in the morning sessions. And he, you say, who's he? You need to get one of them papers over there that tells about Youth Week, because it gives you a biographical sketch of who Ron Williams is. Now, we did share that he is the founder and director of the Hepsibah. Oh, yeah, that's a hard word for me. It's a home for wayward girls, okay? And he founded it back, I think it was in 71. And it's continuing, okay? And so that's who's coming. Brother McVeigh knows of him, has heard him speak in various meetings, and has recommended him, and he'll be here to speak in the mornings. And so whoever's speaking, the point is that we are being spoken to by the Holy Ghost through them. It is not they, it is the Holy Ghost. Amen. Any decisions that we make, it needs to be because of the work of the Holy Ghost speaking to our hearts. The men are just the means by which he transmits that message to us. Now, you could be like the Quakers if you wanted. You could come in here anytime. We're not having an audible service. And you could just sit here and meditate on God and wait for him to speak to your heart. And I believe the Quakers took that to an extent that was, my opinion, not really natural. But nevertheless, God doesn't need the voice of a man. He can speak directly to our hearts. But at the same time, he has, throughout scriptures, given men to proclaim his messages. So that's very much in keeping with God's methods. And so during Youth Week, there are several men who are going to be speaking his message. And he told us in verse 13, we're to hold fast. Hold fast those things that he speaks to us. what Paul's dealing with here is the fact that some turned away from godliness to other things. Now, when people turn away from godliness to other things, please understand, it's not always bad things. You can turn away from godliness even with things that are not bad. Okay? But when we turn our back on the things of God, then that's bad. Okay? When we turn away from God, that's bad. So the act of turning away from God is what's bad, even though the thing that we're doing it for may in itself not be bad. Remember Jesus when he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now, he didn't say seek only
that's right.
the kingdom of God. I dealt with that, was it on Sunday? I think I dealt with it recently sometime. Yeah. and that is how that we must be careful that we don't, think that we have, Paul was a tent maker. Last Wednesday? Thanks. he was a tent maker. And he had therefore many routine daily responsibilities. Just like you and I do. So when Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom, he didn't say seek only the kingdom. We have other responsibilities that we must fulfill. And fulfilling them is okay. But we're to hold fast what God speaks to us about. Now, turn to the book of Hebrews. If you have Timothy, you're going to go toward the back of the Bible. And you won't go very far. You'll just go through Titus and Philemon, just about 3 or 4 pages. Then you'll come to Hebrews. We're going toward the end of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 10. In verse 23 through 27. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. O Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. The last verse tells us how Jesus promised to us. That's what verse 23 talks about. He has promised. He is faithful that promised. And we're to hold fast our profession of faith. Now, how do we hold fast? Consistency. Being inconsistent is not holding fast. Up and down, on and off, in and out. Like a revolving door kind of Christian experience, okay? That inconsistency is not holding fast. Holding fast. Now, you may recall me preaching at one time, I don't, a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being high, it's better for you to be a consistent 4 or 5.
That's right.
Than it is to bounce around between 4 and 9 and 5 and 7 and just be consistent. Because when you're consistent, it's in that steadfastness that God will be able to work and you'll be able to grow.
Yes,
and you will grow. Well, I want to be more. And a lot of people, they bounce around because they're really very genuine. They want to serve God. And so in that desire, sometimes we end up doing it in the flesh. Okay? And we can't hold out in that. It's not satisfying. And then that's when we drop down. Well, then what happens is we become very discouraged. And we think to ourselves, what's the use? No matter how hard I try, I can't stay with it. No, you can't. You're absolutely right. But if you'll just be a steady four, it won't be long. As the Spirit of God works in your heart and you make decisions and commitments and you hold fast to them, that lo and behold, when it comes time to do the rating, you'll be a five. You say, who's rating it? I'm letting you rate yourself, okay? You'll be a five. And then you say steadfast with that, and I don't know, you might be a number five for a year. Now listen, don't say, oh man, took me a whole year to get from four to five. Man, I want to be like, no. Don't go comparing yourself with others. You just compare yourself with what God wants. And then he'll make you to be a five, and you'll grow. And then you might be a five for 2 years. And then after 2 years, when you start, you look back and you realize, wow, I progressed. This or that, and here I am now at a five and a half only. What do you mean five and a half only? That's a growth and a half beyond where you were. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why most diets fail. Yeah. There's many diets that are made that you can lose weight on. I mean, whether it's all grapefruit or all sauerkraut. Now, if you're on a sauerkraut diet, you got to live alone, okay? or have a lot of Beano. Okay. There's a lot of diets that are out there that'll work. But one of the reasons why many people fail in them, and I say many, not everybody, one of the reasons many people fail in them is because they only lose, and then whatever it is, a pound in 2 weeks. You mean I starve myself for a lousy pound? Yeah. But is the goal worthwhile? You see, the goal of Christian growth is worthwhile. Amen. And whatever the speed of the pace, the end result is what counts. Yes. And I don't know if this is actually so or not, but from my illustration, it's like a snowball. You start a snowball and it's what? A ball, it's small. Like a softball, huh? Maybe even just a hard ball. And then you put it in the ground and you roll it. Then what happens? Tell me, Josh, what happens? Gets bigger. Now, if you live where there's a hill, and you get on the top of that hill, and now you got something this big, and then you get it to the edge of the hill, and then you roll it down the hill. Now what happens? Big ball. Goes fast. There are times when Christian growth may experience that. There'll be some fast times. There'll be some big times. But most of the times are going to be slow and small. But if you'll stay with it, I mean, 10 pounds lost is 10 pounds lost. Amen. When it comes to weight. I mean, better to have 10 pounds lost than 10 pounds gained. Amen. Right? Yeah. Especially when it's the same 10 pounds.
My goodness, I could be 50 pounds smaller.
If I'd have just kept each 10 off, where might you be in your Christian growth if you'd have held fast? Where might you be in your Christian growth if you were steadfast in where he did bring you? Don't get discouraged. It's easy to get discouraged about such.
Yeah,
that's why I'm saying don't get discouraged. Because God will keep working in you. Now, let me move along here in Hebrews 10. He says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love. Provoke there means prod. No negativism of, you know, my dad used to say when I did things I shouldn't have, he'd say, oh, boy, Roger, you provoke me. He wasn't using that in a positive way. Let us consider one another to provoke, to prod unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. So, verse 24 shows how we need each other. Now you think about that. When you have your prayer time, I don't know what manner you pray for the church, for the people of the church, but when you have your prayer time, you stop and think. Most people sit in the same spots. We're habits of creature. No, we're creatures of habit. And so you just, you know, think about it. And you need each other. You need that person. And then verse 25, we need the church. We need each other. We need the church. Now look at verse 26. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. What's that teaching us? If we sin willfully, knowingly, purposely, I know I shouldn't, I know this is wrong, but I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway. Whether we run to it or whether we crawl to it, no matter. If we sin willfully, after that we've received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Does that mean that if you sin willfully, there's no way you can get that sin forgiven? There remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Man, well, people are going to hell in a handbasket.
Yes, sir.
If that's the case. No, that's not what it means. There is no other sacrifice, no more sacrifice that can be made than what Jesus Christ made. He made the only way. And so when we sin knowingly, willfully, it is what Jesus did on the cross that is going to take care of providing for the forgiveness and cleansing from that sin. Verse 27, he says, there is a certain fearful looking for of a judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. If a person thinks that somehow I'm an exception, somehow there ought to be some different way or different means of dealing with the sin because after all, it's me. You see, we're important to ourselves. We're special to ourselves. Now, this part of us is going to say, nah, I don't really think so. Yeah, I know. But this part of you does. Okay? And so there's no other way. It's just the way that Jesus Christ did it on the cross. And so we need to hold fast so that we don't get to a place of willful sinning. Now, I'm got to stop for tonight, and I'll pick up with this subject next week.
Amen.
All right, now we're going to pray.